Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, or like a book club for people I hate reading. This week's our theater picks. We picked the movie The Martian, starring Matt Damon. We bring you movie news, and this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens,
Hello.
Ryan Preston. This week we're doing The Martian, and here's another IMDb classic of a synopsis. During a manned mission to Mars, astronaut Mark Whitney is presumed dead after a fierce storm, and left behind by his crew, but Watney has survived and finds himself stranded and alone on this hostile planet.
That's a halfway decent synopsis. I'm not too upset at that.
And this
explains the first 11 minutes of the movie, and then
it's discounting the rest 130 minutes.
But I mean, you know, how much of a description when you're like just looking for a movie? You know, the description that I like is like back of the box descriptions. For you kids, we used to rent movies at the store, and you'd have to turn the box around to read what was on the back, and that's how you know if you wanted to rent it or not.
That's funny, considering he's the youngest out of all
like,
of us.
Oh, okay, I know what this movie's about, and it didn't fucking ruin the last 10 minutes for me.
The funniest thing,
man, having to turn that box around took a long time.
uphill in the snow, fucking both ways, barefoot, bullshit.
Of course, living in Pasadena, there was fucking snow.
Hey, it happened once, like in the 30s.
He didn't live in Pasadena.
Close enough. My favorite part of this movie...
It's true.
My favorite part of this movie is pretty much like Robinson Crusoe on Mars meets...
No, that's Wilson, dude. That's freaking Tom Hanks.
I mean, well, that was pretty much, you know, a take on that movie.
Now,
book
was
too.
I the only one that really felt like that first, like, 10 minutes of the movie was, like, seriously rushed? Because it was like 10 minutes before they were like, later, dude!
You're pretty
And
much.
I understand they're in the middle of the storm. And did you guys notice that storm never came back and happened again the whole time he was there?
Not that bad, yeah.
Did you guys ever notice that there's no storms on Mars?
Yeah, I did. Just throwing that out there, guys. Sorry.
And don't forget, it's a movie that one of at least 7 movies or 8 movies Sean Bean doesn't actually die in.
You know, I thought the same thing, dude. You gotta like get some credit for making it the whole 2 hours.
And you had Michael Pena, who apparently has not only been Mark Wahlberg's sidekick in The Shootist, was also a superhero sidekick in Ant-Man. So there's a
and he was also what was that cop movie he did with
End of Watch.
End of Watch.
Oh, yeah.
That was actually not a bad movie.
So,
Now,
did you guys also think that as soon as you saw that black guy show up, you're like, dude, I can't trust you. You are the operative from Serenity. I do not trust you. You're a believer. You're a true believer.
I didn't even think about that, but the whole time I'm thinking, damn, that guy looks familiar.
Oh, no, man. He played such an amazing, amazing bad guy in the Serenity movie.
Yeah, he did.
And don't forget
it's
about
hard
the
for me to forget about him in that.
And don't forget about the journalist with loose morals, Kate Mara.
Yes, the whore. Good job keeping your clothes on.
I actually thought she did a pretty good job in this movie.
She did. She's actually a decent actor. You know, she was also in The Shooter.
Yes.
Yes, she played the wife of his buddy in The Shooter.
And honestly, probably the worst acting in this whole movie to me was Jessica Chastain.
Oh, you mean the
commander or whatever? I actually thought she was played it a little.
I think at the end she turned it around though.
Yeah, well, she was like the one dimensional character through most of this movie, and towards the end she started fleshing
any
things
of those characters.
Well, they didn't have obviously time to. I mean, you got a little bit I'm gonna forget his name. I don't have my page up, but the End of Watch guy.
Michael Pena.
Maybe it was just the way she was acting that was really stiff.
I think she was there just to be sort of the quintessential sort of commander of the mission.
And by the way,
the
this is
still better.
And if this movie was made 30 years ago, that would have been a male character.
Yeah.
So no, it totally would have.
It's true. So if this movie was made in 1979,
well, no, that's,
or 1980, that would have been a dude.
Well, no, it just because I was thinking about it, trying to see which roles have been changed over time compared to, you know, movies similar to this, because this isn't exactly
a
new
idea.
Dude,
if this was made in 1979, 1980, the whole cast would have been dudes.
Yeah, and there would not have been a Mexican.
Yeah.
No, there would have been at least one woman. You always had to have a token woman in every
one of
these
movies. But she
wouldn't
have been up in space.
No, she would have been like the black hole, you know, that Disney movie.
Well, I mean, if they did it futuristic, possibly. But Sorry.
What's your point?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where John's going with this. Sexist.
No, they're assholes. There's no point. It just
glass ceiling.
No, I can see through it. I just thought it was interesting how this movie, this type of movie, has changed over time.
Hey, they turned Starbucks into a chick, for Christ's sake. Come on. It's a whole new world, man. 2015.
Well, I'm not saying that was I'm bad, but according to everything
you're saying that all women should be barefoot and bright, and I'm saying relax a little bit.
No, I prefer them to wear shoes.
And if any audience member can nail where that's from, I'll give you a dollar.
But I actually thought the worst actor was Jessica Chastain. Besides that, even Jeff Daniels, I thought, did a pretty good job in this movie, considering the last movie I think he did was that stupid Dumb and Dumber sequel.
You know, But now, the little genius black guy from Pasadena, did you kind of think that he got a little ripped off? Because, he comes up with a fantastic idea of how to actually do it, and then they're just like, okay, we take your idea. They all do the poker face and say, get out.
You mean Donald Glover?
Yeah.
By the way,
I liked his character. His character is pretty cool.
Isn't he a musician or something?
I don't know.
He's a rapper named Childish Gambino.
Really?
Yeah. He's actually really good.
I would say because his name and his face look really familiar, probably because I've seen it on the websites.
He's Troy from Community. I don't know if you ever watched that show, but it's awesome.
No. That's the Chevy Chase, where Chevy Chase was in, right? Where he freaked out.
The same guy that does Rick and Morty, that was his old show. And it was really, really good.
Now, but yeah, I actually liked his character and the fact that the guy's like, at the end of it, you know, I'm your boss, right? Uh-huh. That was just a great scene. I'm like, dude, that was awesome.
I love how he's kicked back in that supercomputer room with a USB cord plugged into it. It's just like, really? You're just sitting there kicking it in there?
But, you know, I understand that whole thing when he gets that idea in his head and the guy's like, what are you doing? And he's like, no, just go away. I understand that where you got like that idea in your head and you're still working out all the details. Some dude's like trying to be like, what are you thinking about? It's like, dude, just shut up.
I'm thinking a million miles past where I can say it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
I'd love get it out. Just let me process.
I love the shout out to Sean Bean's other movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you had Jeff Daniels or whatever his name is.
Oh yeah.
Actually, say I'd want to be known as whatever character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually thought that was funny, and nobody laughed. I'm not sure if anybody in the theater when I watched it got the fact that Sean Bean was in Lord of the Rings.
I think a few people did, but I don't think enough to really let that one sink in. But I thought it was hilarious.
Well, for being a very pivotal scene, it was quick.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty much the changeover to the next act.
Yeah. Hold on. Hell's yeah, duct tape.
Yeah, hell's yeah, duct tape. I'm super glad that it almost seemed for a minute like they were going to take Jeff Daniels' character and try to turn him into some kind of a villain for them.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, they were really close.
They got close, I think, like John said, but I mean, they really kind of turned it around with those little things like the Lord of the Rings reference when he said he wanted this character to be, I forget who he said.
I think it was Gandalf's actual name, I thought.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember what he said, but yeah, I mean, those little things, and but I think they definitely sort of.
Whoa! Hi, Ryan.
That's a very bad pause.
Dude.
And right in the middle of a sentence.
But now, did you kind of feel like, you know, Saving Private Ryan had better luck than this guy? I mean, like, literally, like, he's getting everything set up, and then, you know, everything gets destroyed.
Oh no! Totally, and I love. One of the best scenes in the movie. Ryan, are you there?
Not yet.
No. One of my favorite scenes in the movie when he figured out, oh yeah, I can actually plant seeds in there, when he was going into the waste receptacle and started cutting it over, and
thing shoved up his nose. I want to know where he got the. I guess when you're sleeping up there, you get the earplugs, because that's what was shoved up his nose.
Well, no, I noticed it was earplugs.
Unless he cut tampons in half and shoved them up there.
No, they look like the orange earphone, the head, you know, headphones.
Yeah, the cheap little throwaways.
Are you there, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. I was just saying, you know, I thought that Saving Private Ryan had better luck than this guy, you know?
I love that meme, by the way. We've sure spent a lot of money trying to save Matt Damon.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things.
Now, I've got a question for you guys. Now, this whole movie, I was really disappointed, but I was just waiting for it, for somebody to start singing Daisy Bell.
Nobody sung that.
I think they should. I think somebody in there should have had that song in their thing and he plays it.
They should have made it somebody's ringtone.
Because they played so much disco, you know, and then they should have just said, Daisy.
No, they should have made it somebody's ringtone, you know?
Yeah, that would have been pretty awesome and subtle.
Like one of the geeks and have somebody turn like, dude, seriously?
Well, how would somebody not want to throw that kind of a reference in? And I mean, that'd be kind of the perfect little nod to sort of what's considered the grandfather of sci-fi.
Yeah, of all sci-fi, and the fact that he's trapped on this planet by himself. You know,
I'd say finally a Mars movie that was actually pretty good, because Red Planet was
And you didn't like Total Recall?
Honestly, yeah, Total Recall was pretty badass, dude. Come on.
For a Mars movie? For that type of thing?
Well, I meant more... Yeah.
I enjoyed parts of the remake, but not as much as the first
I would
one.
Say, well, unlike... like. I guess it should be a little bit more specific, you know, where it was Uncharted, because you got like Red Planet, whereas Unknown Planet had that robot, you had the Mars movie.
Pitch Black?
It wasn't a Mars,
but you said an Uncharted planet, right? That's what you were switching it to.
No, that Mars
it's
being
a mining
uncharted
colony,
planet.
It wasn't Uncharted.
Yeah.
I guess so.
But, you know, because you even had throwbacks, Robinson Crusoe's on Mars, where he got oxygen by burning yellow rocks.
All
right. I mean, the only thing this movie was missing, honestly, was his man
now,
Friday.
Now, the thing that I kind of got a little disappointed by was the guy's there for that long, and he does not figure out a way to gouge his name into the surface of Mars. I mean, you're doing the pirate thing. You're like, I'm claiming this area. But I think he should have gouged his name in there.
Oh,
in the surface of it.
That reminds me, I totally love the stoner moment where he was justifying himself why he was a pirate.
Oh, yeah.
That whole part, I'm like, that's awesome.
Dude, I like the fact that he's, like, sitting there and having those moments, and I like the fact that he's, like, crushing up the Vicodin, and he's like, I'm going to eat this potato dipped in Vicodin, because nobody's here to stop me.
Oh, wait, the idea of chewing Vicodin like that.
Oh, dude, that would taste so nasty. I don't care if it's on a potato or not.
I love the tagline. He's like, I ran out of ketchup 3 months ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really friggin' enjoyed this movie. I mean, aside from the obvious big sweeping visuals and things like that, they really told a good sort of man versus nature. I mean, it's a type of movie that comes out once every few years. You know, you have your Into the Wilds or your Robinson Crusoe.
Or your Gray.
Castaway, yeah.
You know, this was such an interesting take on it, because you had all these... all the same kind of, okay, water, food, shelter, but in this wildly different way with this, you know, like, most pragmatic view that you can have. I mean, obviously, it's really speculative, and they added shit like dust storms on Mars. Okay, whatever, forgivable.
Yeah.
But it was a really fun movie for watching one guy kind of figure things out on his own, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there was quite a bit of stuff that wasn't practical with our technology now. That wouldn't really work.
And I was going to continue. I'll change of thought. So,
okay.
Well, the author had said that it takes place. I wish I could remember the date that he said, but he actually has a year in mind. That's something like 30 years from now.
Okay.
Well, that makes sense. And
because basically he had sort of calculated when we might be able to get a manned mission to Mars, and then figured, okay, just put it then.
And I do kind of like right now you have a sci-fi movies that are planted in at least a little bit of reality. I mean, I love the far-flung future sci-fi movies, but this was fun.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I was a little disappointed by is they didn't show the night sky. It didn't go dark there very often. They didn't show very much night, but when they did, you know, I think the night sky without any electronical stuff could be really cool.
Oh, I also wanted to add Ryan's comment on the giant vistas and all the sweeping visual effects.
Oh.
That actually didn't bother me, like, because most of these movies, they do that. They're trying to sidetrack you with the fact there's no fucking plot, there's no story. It's, look, this movie's pretty.
It was simple.
It was simple, but it didn't take away... It didn't add to me, but it wasn't a minus like it normally is to me.
Well, and it didn't, kind of tagging up on, I think what you're saying is it didn't really feel like it needed to rely on only, these big giant shots of Mars. You know?
Oh yeah, no, totally.
Yeah, I agree. I do got to give props to Matt Damon. I don't know if you guys noticed in the beginning of the movie, he was pretty well fit. He had a good amount of muscle mass, enough chunkiness. You could tell he worked out for the role.
Not bad for a botanist.
And then towards the end, right before he got rescued, there is a scene where he comes out of the shower. I didn't really need to see you like that, Matt Damon. But you could see his ribs. You could see.
Man, I was really trying to look closely to see, because they cut away at pretty specific.
You're trying to look closely at what?
That was part of his body.
On the positive side, this isn't Viggo Mortensen in Eastern Promises like Ryan's looking for.
You're the one that picked that, dude.
Yes, but that movie's amazing. It's not my fault. I forgot the fucking ending. But on the positive side, it's not like Crying Game.
Or Watchmen.
True. It's not a Crying Game / and or Watchmen.
But I want to give Ryan his due. What were you trying to say? You were trying to see his...
Well, I was trying to see if they were cutting away before, I didn't really see his face with that body, so I was wondering if it was a body double.
It could have been, but I don't think it was, and you're right, because when he first came out, I'm like, is that a chick or a dude? What's happening here?
I was thinking if it was anything, it would be what they did with Chris Evans in the Captain America movie.
Yeah.
It would have been his body, but digitally dehanced.
For those of you people out there that don't really know what scene we're talking about, we're talking about when he had to cut down the rations to, like, where he's eating, like, once a day at best.
Yeah.
Just to keep enough nutrition in his body to survive for how long he had it to.
The only thing I wish they explained exactly how about this water, because I know he was recycling his urine, but because they kind of alluded to it. That's the other question I was interested in is, where did all the water come from?
Well, those rations that he has, the space food, they actually do have a machine that has a certain amount of allotment of water that rehydrates the food, so if he had cut it down that way, he could get the water out of that.
Oh, so there is that too.
But also, I think talk about he had described film. Some kind of chemical process or something like that I felt like I should look up or something like that.
Yeah, he but did
part
talk
of the,
about
part
creating
of the
water.
Where it was set somewhat in the future was to sort of overcome those little problems
hydrogen.
That we don't actually have solutions for right now, like such as how to survive the radiation in space. This movie postulates that we've already solved that problem. You
true.
Know?
And it was, you know, I figured it was the old water world way.
Yeah, I mean, see, and I assumed it was something like that, too. But when he was, he did some chemical process to try to grow his plants. So I figured that was some kind of a...
He was splitting hydrogen.
Yeah, he's creating his own water. Yeah, he's creating his own system.
Which, oh yeah, by the way, I love that. I love that scene where saying, you know, lighting... Nothing could go wrong. We're lighting.
Yeah, and then he blows himself up.
And he takes a bit of his hair going, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when he said, I just blew myself up.
Yeah. And Matt Damon, I really enjoy your acting. I have since... I've enjoyed his acting pretty much his whole career. I think he's one of the better actors.
You just don't like his heterosexual life partner, Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, dude. Come on. You only got like 2 good movies. And maybe this Batman, maybe we'll see.
Yeah, we're holding out hope, aren't we?
Yeah.
No, I'm not holding my
been
breath
playing,
though.
Playing this movie up for like 3-4 years now, it feels
That's
like.
That's the thing is, I mean, you know, like it really kind of reeks of that we were all kind of nervous about Heath Ledger doing Joker.
Yeah.
You know, but they seem to be just as confident. So
yeah,
you know,
Brokeback changed my mind, dude. You did a good job. But, you know, I was kind of a little disappointed that, you know, George R. R. Martin didn't write this movie. I mean, they all survived. I was kind of hoping that somebody would die.
No, I knew somebody wasn't going to die in this movie because it just didn't have
it's got that feel.
It doesn't have that feeling of it that like where most space movies are.
Well, I kept waiting for somebody to come out and cut off Sean Bean's head.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, come on, dude. That's like the give me character. You're the red suits.
Yeah, seriously. He really is the red suit of the character actors.
I do want to add, I think we got to talk to, before we give our scores, talk about is the actual spaceships and the sets a little bit. I loved the ship, and my favorite part of the whole thing is the physics involving that rotating center.
Yeah.
When they would back into that section they wanted to go into.
Yeah.
How they actually knew which section was which, I don't know.
Practice.
But that whole scene.
You know how he gets Carnegie Hall, right?
Practice.
Tomato, tomato. So
Hakuna Matata.
I give this movie a 4 out of 5. I mean, it's not quite a 5 to me, but I love this movie. This was the first sci-fi movie in a while that was in theaters that I wasn't actually going, fuck.
Wait, you didn't like that Will Smith and his kid movie, whatever that was?
Oh, After Earth?
Yeah, After Earth.
No, the accents drove me nuts.
You loved it.
No, so this movie to me was a strong 4 out of 5. I'm kind of hoping that this is kind of the rebirth of decent sci-fi.
Yeah, I agree. I actually give it a 4. I was kind of thrown up and down between a 3.5 and a 4. But, you know, I think actually if all taken into account, I think it's a decent 4. There's a lot of fun characters in it. There's some that, you know, they didn't really do much with that were kind of throwaway characters that seemed like pivotal characters, like, you know, the other teammates he had.
I will say, though, I do think this movie's going to age well, unlike most modern sci-fi.
Yeah, I could, you know...
Like 20, 30 years from now, this movie is going to feel amazing compared to, say, 95% of all sci-fi movies.
Yeah, I know John's never finished it, but there's a reason why I actually brought up the 2001 Space Odyssey comparison.
No, I finished it. It just took me a while.
For me, this one has the same longevity that 2001 does. That in the sense that the concept of it can last for a while.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
That's what I meant with the 2001. I think that the concept of 2001 had the longevity, but today
I don't think this movie is quite revolutionary as 2001. But I get what you're saying. So Ryan, what?
Well, I think it is kind of revolutionary in the sense that we get this mix of sort of hardcore sci-fi mixed with, you know, great dramatic story. Which usually kind of sacrifice one for the other, by and large, in modern sci-fi. Two points. One, for watching a 2.5-hour movie with one guy, mostly.
Bring your catheters.
This
I thought this movie was going to be found footage as much as he was speaking to the damn GoPro.
Yeah, well, my point, I mean, for as long as the movie was and watching one guy, it was a breezy movie.
Yeah,
like there were, I walked into the theater starving to death. So halfway through the movie, I wanted to get up and get some nachos or something. But like I didn't want to leave the theater because every 5 seconds I was like, I want to see how this plays out.
Oh, yeah. No, this movie flow of this movie. There was not one scene in this movie that to me felt slow. Everything was perfect.
Yeah, no, the pacing was beautiful. I mean, even the little slow burn parts were freaking awesome. It's a definite solid 4 out of 5.
And there was no real soundtrack to this movie minus the disco, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, and
I will not turn the beat around.
They put in that David Bowie song at the end and just stuck the landing.
Oh no! When I heard Rocket Man or whatever it was called, I'm like, oh, that's perfect.
Dude, I was hoping he'd do like some Iron Man. When he's
Starman, dude, Bowie. That was a perfect choice.
That was, you know, yeah, was probably that was Ziggy. Rocket Man.
Yeah.
So. What do you give
Hold
Ryan?
On. I wanted to bring up my favorite part of the movie. What was more of a concept than a part, but when they have the NASA crew on the ground, the engineering crew actually building the models of the stuff that has in space.
Yeah.
That's something that they do. They have every single part that they have on that ship. They have it on the ground in like a warehouse or what have you. So if
Apollo
they need
13
to improvise something,
did the same thing.
Hundreds of scientists on the ground could put something together, explain how to do it, and then with the materials that they have in space can put it together. It's how they got out of Apollo 13. That's how they got back, is they were able to make a CO2 scrubber based on the materials that they had.
So you gave this movie a 4 out of 5? Is that what you said, right?
Totally, for sure.
So we're gonna switch over to this week's TV show, which was The Last King.
Last Kingdom,
and honestly, this TV show is about as good as last week's movie.
Now I gotta say something.
Not as corny though.
Hold on. I want to jump in on this one because I watch more TV than John does. Now I have a question for the set designers that did The Last Kingdom. Did you guys just go ahead and just rip off the sets from Vikings? Just a real question.
What do you mean rip off? They probably borrowed them.
I swear I see these exact same sets of Vikings. And the other big issue that I had with the show is there's way too many questions that you opened up really early on that you didn't answer. Lots. And I think that's just biting off more than they could chew. And the other thing that I see this is, since this is BBC America, right, Ryan?
Yeah.
This is the BBC's answer to the Vikings that's on the History Channel. Because it's like, you guys are like, oh, they're painting us in a bad light. Let's make our own show about the Vikings at this exact same time in the time period of this that is fantasy.
But so far, it painted the Vikings in a better light than it did anybody else.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I definitely won't be watching another episode because the first episode I watched, I actually had to skip around. I thought it was boring.
And
it was not entertaining. The acting was bad. The sets kind of sucked because I saw them on another TV show.
The other thing is, I got to say, damn you, Gladiator, for bringing up some howling woman in the background of any action or dramatic scene. You're the one that started that. Enough already. I'm sick and tired of some squealing woman in the background.
At least we didn't hear the Wilhelm scream.
All right, Ryan, you're up.
It
wasn't nearly as bad as last week's.
Oh, no, not nearly. It was bad, but not as cheesy.
So it's BBC America. They're definitely known for a little bit more of the cheese, a little bit more of the, you know, kind of tamed down version. Although for BBC America, this actually did seem like they were trying to push it out a little bit further than they usually do. It wasn't that Robin Hood kind of.
Oh no, they were pushing it. They were definitely trying to be a little bit more edgier than they normally are.
They've never had a problem killing off characters. It's the one thing I respect about the British is they don't try to sugarcoat these things of nobody really dies. It's they've never had like an A-team kind of thing. There's always been high stakes. You know, death was always an option. No matter
how cheat. They got Doctor Who and they just bring in another actor. They cheat.
I think the characters felt a lot more authentic in this one. I know I'm kind of comparing it to last week's, and that's not exactly saying one thing or another about this one.
So wait, hold on. You're comparing, like we said, the Bastard Executioner was pretty much Xena Warrior Princess. So you're comparing Hercules, The Legend Continues, to Xena the Warrior Princess.
Pretty much.
Almost. Yeah.
This is okay.
I mean, am I wrong to say that Hercules The Legend Continues is better than Xena?
Oh no, hands down. And so we're gonna have to switch to movie news just to let you know.
Oh no, actually, it was Hercules The Legendary Journeys. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
We're switching now to movie news. Just to let you know, we do have a Facebook page. Do you love us? Hate us? Do you think we suck? We'll read you on air if you're freaking creative. None of this fat guy sucks thing. It, you know, come on. Be creative. Be funny.
Eat a freaking salad.
Be intelligent. I might be asking a little too much of YouTube comments, but hey, please. And so the first thing I got to say, just so I get this over with, after this week, Back to the Future will take place entirely in the past. There, I've said it. I like the movie. Let's move on. The next one I'm actually kind of excited about is Kingsman 2 is coming to the summer of 2017. I'm looking forward to seeing how they play that character that died.
Yeah.
I'm kind of nervous about this one. I think this is primed to suffer from sequelitis, man.
Oh no, it's going to, but I'm hoping they do the obvious route where they turn his mentor into the bad guy.
All right, yeah.
But that's going to be one of those tropes that I'm not going to be liking when I see it.
Yeah, because I actually liked his mentor. His mentor is pretty good.
No, I did, but I don't see how they could do it and have it as entertaining because having him come back alive and being his mentor again and or doing the old buddy cop routine, I just think it's too played off. You know, I think
really no matter what they do, it's going to feel like jumping the shark. Yeah.
I mean, I think the only way to play it off would to have his character actually die and come back in flashbacks. You know, flashbacks in his training that they didn't show.
I hate movies like that.
But that's the only way I could see it actually be even remotely not sequelitis.
But no, I mean, it's not going to rely on probably any specific trope like that. But really, they have no choice but to just kind of redo the things that they did and then try to do more of that. And that's what sucks about sequels, you know?
So far on this article, I don't see where it's going to say actually who directed it, but we'll see. This one I'm really worried about. I mean, I'm not as worried as apparently they're going to make another Die Hard movie.
Yeah, now that one I gotta see. I see. I'm like diehard, like people are with Fast and Furious. They know the movies suck ass, but they still have to go to the theater because just to see how much more it sucked from the previous one.
I'm actually literally hoping there's a nuclear fridge moment. Because that's when you're gonna know this movie like jumped the shark.
Well, that's gonna be the only thing that they can do to ramp it up at all. It's what I used to make fun of Dragon Ball Z for. It's like how much more epic can you make it? Can he fly through the air for 30 seconds as opposed to 25 next time, or what?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I'm not looking forward to. In all honesty, my Die Hard 1 is the best. Period to me. The second and third one are okay. The fourth one and fifth one are okay. I like the one with Justin Long better than the third one.
No, fuck no.
I just didn't like the third one. I just wasn't a big fan of it.
Whoa. Not cool.
Oh, did I hear your little feelings?
How dare you? How dare you say a disparaging word about Sam Jackson and Bruce Willis running around New York City?
Don't get me wrong. There were parts of it that I liked.
Jeremy Irons is the awesome bad guy. Are you kidding me?
Oh, and I will also say I like the first Lethal Weapon better than the second one, even though Joe Pesci is awesome. The third one is a comedic version, and the fourth one is where they went off the ship. It jumped shark.
Joe Pesci?
And Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, Uncle Vinny?
Yeah. He's in the second movie of Lethal Weapon.
I know.
And the third and the fourth.
Unfortunately. Though him and Chris Rock are pretty funny. So that's pretty much the movie news.
No, I was going to bring up, I was not looking forward to Ant-Man. I'm not a big fan of Ant-Man. But they're going to come up with Ant-Man and Wasp. Scheduled for 2018. And they're going to keep the same director. I actually think I might check that one out.
Well, I liked Ant-Man. I didn't know dick about Ant-Man. It wasn't one of the books I read as a kid or anything like that. I enjoyed the hell out of that movie.
Do not do Aquaman.
The only thing that's going to be interesting about that is they're going to play off with the chemistry between the two. That's going to be the major dynamic, I think, in the movie. Unfortunately, we're running a little long.
I just want to mention that.
So I totally want to see it. Yeah. And next week, do we know what TV show we're doing?
Yeah, Blindspot.
So we're doing the movie Blindspot, if you didn't hear what he said. And next week's movie is my pick, and I have to apologize because this is a movie I've wanted us to review forever. I figured this was a perfect time to bash on one of the legendary B-movie actors of the 90s.
Lundgren.
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Nope. This movie has one of my all-time favorite movie lines in it for being so bad.
Oh, Corey Feldman?
On Deadly Ground.
Oh, Jesus. Is it going to make you watch that movie again?
I want to do it because I figured this would be a great shenanigans episode because this movie is, well, you'll have to see it.
Oh, man. I mean, see, there's movies that I've watched as a kid and then I watch as an adult and I'm like, oh, man, that didn't hold up. This one I got older and then remembered the movie and became embarrassed.
This movie aged the day it came out.
Oh my God.
I gave the movie The Martian a 4 to 5. James gave it a 4 to 5. Ryan gave it a 4 to 5. We're doing the movie, the TV show Blindspot for next week. And as always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye. Thank you.